This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's go around the NFL here. In the loop on Sports Radio 610, after a night where we had the first round of the NFL draft and all sorts of things were happening, including lots of moving and shaking. But I feel like the main story that we were coming into this draft with, and the story that still persists, funny enough, where does Shedeur Sanders land? Because he clearly was not selected, including where it felt like at nine, where, I mean, if we were looking at, will the Saints be interested? They take an offensive lineman. And then we get to 21, where people had been thinking about
that's where
Pittsburgh
I thought he
Steelers.
Was go.
I think we all were looking at it. In fact, let's play a little audio because a very prominent football mind in the world of sports media thought he's going to go there. Ryan Clark, former Pittsburgh Steeler, works for ESPN and hosts the Pivot Podcast. This is actually from the Pivot Podcast social media accounts. They were hanging out, the guys of the Pivot Podcast, watching to see how this unfolds. And this was him eagerly to see what was going to happen with Shedeur Sanders.
What the hell?
What the hell?
What the hell?
Hey,
come on, you defense, Pittsburgh. Come on now.
Yeah, man. He even went further, was talking about like how Mason Graham was a good player, but man, they are now at the behest. Mm-hmm. They are now just, it feels like they're just whatever Aaron Rodgers wants to do.
They have no second round pick. So it'd be one thing if they had a second round pick and you could probably get a Jalen Milroe or something like that. But y'all ain't got no second round pick.
How about Mel Kiper? Like he was livid because all he kept saying is Shedeur, Shedeur, Shedeur. And now
it was damn near breaking down the argument.
They were,
Shedeur.
They were. Yeah. And you mentioned Jalen Milroe. There's a real sentiment. I don't know what you want to call it out there. Milroe might go before Sanders.
I think so too. Because I know right now, people looking at the Browns like, oh, they got to get a quarterback. It's gonna be Shedeur. I don't know about that, man.
Well, that'd be something. Milroe, Jalen Milroe.
That sounds like a trying to get somebody fired. In fact, that feels like if Jalen Milroe goes before Shedeur Sanders, I think you got to go and Jalen Milroe got to go up to Buffalo and go thank Jalen or Josh Allen. Man, I'm just mixing up names. Josh Allen specifically, because that is exactly what we're doing here. We're like, oh, look at all these traits. We've seen it turn into something before. Let's try it again. It is in the vein of the Anthony Richardson. It is in the vein of who was the other big body dude that couldn't actually do this in a different way. But that's basically what we're doing here. It's just, we've seen it happen once. We've seen someone make the magic happen once. It can happen again.
I do think that I guess the other side of this is they don't have to play him right away. I think Anthony Richardson, you had to play him right away. Jalen Milroe, he can sit a little bit. And I also don't know.
No, that is a factor.
Yeah, I also think, I feel like Shedeur, I feel like it'd be a lot more pressure to play Shedeur kind of right away, too.
No, I think that, I mean, that's the human element that always comes into play.
I guess that's scaring some teams away, too, where you got to feel pressure to play him right away.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the other quarterbacks, you don't have to play right away.
Mm-hmm. All right, so some other things that happened around the NFL. Obviously, there were some trades that actually came into pass here, and I guess one of them was obviously involving the Texans. Let's start there. Because that was interesting with the Texans or the Giants trading up, and I thought some people thought as the Giants trading back into the first round to get that extra fifth round option a fifth year option with what you get on a first rounder compared to a second rounder. Usually that's big for a quarterback in particular with the cost that it takes for, if you were planning on having that guy for those extended years, and they traded up not for Shedeur but for Jackson Dart,
my guy. I don't know why I said that, but I've liked him from the very start of this whole process months ago. I was pointing it out to you when they were showing, even as they were showing the highlights, his accuracy is just something you can't teach, you know. And I think they felt very much the same way, along with a lot of more things that they know. But big, I think Jackson Dart is probably faster than Shedeur Sanders. I mean,
well, yeah. Shedeur is not like crazy athlete. In fact, he's a little bit more. I mean, he moves enough as to, you know, do the things that he was asked of within that Colorado offense. But it was a lot more kind of quick reading. In fact, funny enough, he kind of profiles like what you would. All right, we own race card, right? We're gonna step into this space. Previously, when we kind of had very racialized analysis of quarterbacks, very much so,
stereotypes.
Where you go, oh, well, the black guy is the mobile it's quarterback. The that is one. The yeah. dual
yeah.
threat
yeah.
and the pocket passer, the guy who stands in the pocket and really analyzes and throws the football from there is the white guy. He kind of flouts those notions because he is more of the latter. He is more of the guy that kind of stands in and you know. Gets that ball fairly accurately and analyzes and reads the field pretty well. I think one of the tough parts about it, I know some people are talking about with Shedeur with the circus or whatever. I don't know how much the circus actually factors in. I think that he has a personality that is not for everyone. I think if you want to call that the circus, that's one thing. He just does not have a really strong arm. We haven't talked a lot about that, and he does not have an arm that cuts through the air. Plus, he's not crazy mobile, and like he does not necessarily create as much with his legs. And in this modern NFL, it feels like those are two things that you kind of need as prerequisites to play the quarterback position at a very high level. And
really,
it
seems
like,
no matter what offense.
Seems like teams are kind of like, I don't know how much I want to buy into that, even though the other things that he has are very good profile, the talent.
Yeah, that's the thing. If he wasn't mobile, that's fine, but you gotta have an arm.
Big
or something.
Arm or an accurate arm.
Accurate, yeah, that gotta be a big plus for you not to be as mobile or whatever.
Yeah.
And you were, he ain't got none of that.
And you were talking about how Shedeur, you know, the whatever the personality thing is that you think he has, might not be a big factor. I think it would be a factor in New York. It would be a big factor in New York. Whereas Jackson Dart, I think fans are crazy and they want to see the rookie no matter what. But I think they're more willing for him to sit, you know, Jackson Dart to sit. And if you're looking for a good cross-cultural, cross-racial example. And I'm not saying, you know, he's this, but some of the characteristics that Jackson Dart has are kind of like C.J. Stroud's, except he played in a different offense. Like Stroud was more in a pro-style
offense.
Stroud's
got a better arm.
Stroud has a better arm, but he's good with the deep ball, like Stroud was. He runs when he needs to, like Stroud did, and he's incredibly accurate, which was Stroud's favorite, best characteristic. So, like, I'm not saying he's C.J. Stroud. I'm saying some of the characteristics he have are shared.
And it's a little easier for him to sit for a year rather than if that was Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
Hey, don't do that. Somebody said CJ's also light-skinned, though. All right. We don't have to get into, like, full colorism theory here. I don't know if we need to do all that. I was just pointing out how, you know, I think something that we could all agree on is that's something that had happened in the past. But, yeah, with that trade, the Texans sent just that 25 pick, and they got back 34, which they will use. They have the second pick. Of the second round, 99, which is a later third round pick, and then a 2026 third round pick. Compare that to the LA Rams at 26, who, you know, after the Texans had traded their pick, we were like, all right, what else is happening here?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we have a trade. The Atlanta Falcons trade back into the first round in order to take a pass rusher, interestingly enough, is James Pierce Jr., right? Out of Tennessee, who had the lovely Rekia Jackson on his arm. I was like, oh, okay.
Was that her?
Yes.
I wasn't sure because I've seen people debate like, no, that's not her.
Yes. I saw, is that who I think it is?
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, yeah.
Shout out to the man. Yeah. Shout out to the man who gets to live in Atlanta. But then the Rams sent the 26th pick and a third round pick, but they get back a second round pick this year, seventh round pick, and then a first round in the future.
Yeah.
And so, like, the Falcons gave up a next year's first round pick. Not the only team to do that. Obviously, the Jacksonville Jaguars gave around a first round. Mm-hmm. Multiple first round picks from next year getting given up. One of them you can kind of understand with Travis. Or actually, can you understand either of those first round picks? And what do you think that says? Do you think that says anything about next year's draft or about those teams in particular that they were willing to give up first round picks? And moving up, especially with the Falcons so late.
And not for a quarterback.
Not for a quarterback in either circumstance.
Which to me was the most crucial thing. I think, well, you can look at it two ways. The Texans felt like they got what they deserved for that pick. And I think, you know, the Rams clearly were willing to pay more I mean, that's why it's such an inexact science, you know, in terms of if you're willing to pay that much for that guy.
Or the Falcons are willing to pay.
I mean, Falcons, yeah.
But
yeah.
Even then, yeah. It's kind of funny because you had a quarterback trade up and you didn't end up with a first round pick in the way that the Rams did in a pick later. Like, just how yeah. does that happen?
Yeah, that and so the Texans didn't necessarily like get fleeced or something because they got some good picks out of it, but the team right behind them got a lot more.
If you were inclined to be frustrated on yesterday, I imagine that was also another slight point of frustration for you.
You know, the other thing that was frustrating for me was just the feelings we were getting over the course of watching these guys come into the league, even guys that weren't like necessarily going to be future Texans, like Malachi Starks. We all three at the same time were like, that dude looked like he wanted to kill someone.
Oh, yeah, just like being drafted.
Slapping that thing. And
yeah, he slapped because he signed to the Ravens. Yeah. Or he was drafted to the Ravens. Obviously, they'll figure out when he signs later on. But that dude, I don't know if he was just excited to play for the Ravens or just excited to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
I am scared of that Ravens.
Yes,
that's fair. I'm scared of that Ravens secondary.
I told you guys, okay, he's a Hall of Famer. Because he's with the Ravens.
Do the Texans play the Ravens this year? They don't play the Ravens. I hope not.
I think I would still take this Texan secondary over anyone, right? Yeah. You just have incredible up and down all the way across, left and right. But Malachi Starks alongside Kyle Hamilton and what they got going there, that seems like that's not going to be fun for the AFC North.
And then the other one is a player that we did sort of have our fingers crossed about, and that's Tyler Booker. You know, obviously goes to the Cowboys, and did you hear him on Micah Parsons? Figure you have this.
Who, Tyler Booker?
Oh my goodness, this is the guy that wanted to steal your soul. Remember that from the
combine? Oh yes.
Listen to this.
What does it feel like to see the love of football leave someone's eyes?
It feels great, you know, football is a child's game. So like people wake up, be like, man, I can't wait to play this football game today. They listen to their hype music. They take all the pre-workout. They get so excited to play football until they come across Tyler Booker. And then when I'm going after you quarter after quarter, play after play, series after series, and I start to see that love leave their eyes. Like that's what makes me love the game. Like I just really love.
Michael Parsons losing his mind.
He got me ready to go.
Bro, I'm gonna play right now.
He got me hype. I ain't gonna lie.
All right.
Play after play, quarter after quarter.
Man, welcome to the team.
That's Michael Parsons.
Yeah.
Tyler Booker. He's another one that I was like, dang it, FOMO.
Yeah, that would have been. if only Nick Caserio was interested in trading like this year's picks this year.
It was mentioned.
But I don't know. Again, we don't know what the actual calls would have been, but I would have to imagine it would have been pretty big. Going back, let me a good text came in to check me, and I appreciate you checking me when I need to be checked. One of the reasons the difference between the trade back that the Texans had at 25 and the trade back the Rams had, the Texans will be selecting 34, which is stepping back 9 picks. The Rams will now be selecting 46.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a big difference when you look at the second round and the maneuverability that you still have there.
Yeah.
I feel like, but especially
first round pick.
But if y'all had the chance to get that same trade, would y'all do that one or do the one we currently did?
No, I'd have done that one because you get a first round pick next year.
But you'd still need to maneuver yourself to get earlier in the second round.
Sure.
Here you have, I mean, you got a third rounder this year and you got a third rounder next year as well.
Yeah.
So you still have some maneuverability.
I mean, the Texans, the 26 draft, and we're not going to get too far up ahead of ourselves.
You've already done some scouting, huh?
But just so you know, 2 seconds, 2/3, and 2/4.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So they got 2 seconds, 2/3 already next year.
Yeah.
So that's good.
All right. Some other things that I know that we just noted on the draft coverage. Pat McAfee was seen hitting a vape pen from a fan in the stands, which. After Paul Heyman got out here putting him on the on blast,
yep.
I would have imagined that he'd been a little bit cleaner on this, huh? I feel like you'd have been a little bit more vigilant.
Puff, puff, take a gummy. Puff, 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 puff. That sounds about right now.
And then did you guys see when Kelvin Banks Jr. was selected? They took it to the video in his house, and I'm guessing that's his lady that was sitting next to him
with the baby.
With a baby,
yeah,
and. There was a baby spitting up on the broadcast, and many people had a lot of fun.
He did not want to go to New Orleans.
But I saw someone also make the joke, because obviously that's a little bit negative, but there were some people in the positive space that were like, Man, he realized his dad was going to be a millionaire and threw up. Or she, I don't know. I don't know if it was a baby boy. But ultimately, that was part of it. I don't know how many people were talking about the fact that, like, Kelvin Banks' lady, I'm assuming, who was next to him holding this baby, started, like, clapping and everything when they found it vigorously. And the baby was just being jarred.
Yeah.
It was like all of a sudden the baby was on, on a roller coaster. And I felt bad for the baby. I was like, hey, I know you're excited, but can we pay attention to what's happening with this child
right
now?
Watch the baby, man.
So anyways, yeah.
That mother arm was moving, though.
Yeah. It was.
That baby was sitting there shaking. I threw up, too.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's circle back around to this draft. Who are you looking at? Like, who are you interested in now? Who is your guy?
What now?
We'll do that next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. NFL Draft Round 1 in the books. Round 2 gets going tonight. Of course, as always, listen to the coverage right here on Sports Radio 610. We got you covered as this continues. I actually want to circle back around, and we'll get into this at noon, because I did ask who you want and what now, and I feel like there's a lot more to cover, so I want to make sure that we give it the adequate time. But one thing I have neglected to this point is the AFC South, teams got better.
Yeah.
Even as the Texans maneuvered, and with the board falling as it did, and understanding the Texans, because they are much better than these other teams, had a selection that was much later, and they were more beholden to the, you know, the whims and the machinations of what happened ahead of them, ultimately trading out of the first round. But did the rest of the AFC South gain ground? And if so, like, which of the three teams in your competition were you more concerned about? The Tennessee Titans at the very top of the draft, number one, 1-1, selecting Cam Ward, quarterback, out of Miami. Mm-hmm. The Jacksonville Jaguars trading up to select Travis Hunter, one of the, in my estimation, the two blue chip guys, a guy who is a wide receiver, defensive back combo. And then the Indianapolis Colts getting a gift of sorts with Colston Loveland being selected by the Bears and allowing Tyler Warren of Penn State to fall to them at 14. Which of those are you most concerned about? Which of those kind of intrigued you the most when we saw it happen yesterday? And are you allowing the rest of the AFC South to gain ground on at least this day? In the division.
At least this day, I think you'd be silly not to think that what the rest of the division did kind of shook the rivets a little bit over at NRG. You know, because they every team got well, it seems every team got better. The reason I'm pausing is because, you know, Cam Ward, we'll see. You know, quarterbacks are always such an inexact, you know, just how good are they going to be. But Travis Hunter, I mean, stud. Tyler Warren, stud, you know, and then, of course, you know, they got the quarterback Cam Ward. I'll put it this way, and I think this is the best way to illustrate it. It's what I was talking to you guys about last night. Like, there were two players that were clearly, oh, those are the best football players in the draft. And then there was a clear number one quarterback, and that was Cam Ward. And then there was one, the fourth player of the best four players that people, there was a consensus, those are the best four players. You know, in terms of this draft, the division got three of them. That's the, you know, the best, the best quarterback, Travis Hunter, and the head and shoulders best tight end, even though he was taken second.
Ooh, there was a lot of analysis that had a real regard, well, high regard for Colston Loveland.
He was taken behind Loveland.
Well, no, even headed into it, I know that there was, like, Phil Yates, I believe, ESPN. Had Colston Loveland ahead of Tyler Warren, and largely because, I mean, they're both very talented, but Colston Loveland kind of tracks as a more prototypical tight end compared to Tyler Warren, who is very, very good, don't get me wrong, but I think we talked about this a little bit this week, the idea of he might be more, you might need to have a little bit more attention given to how you utilize him.
Because he's
to,
so good.
Because he's so good and how you can get the most out of using him. And I do wonder if that then made that change of it. But then you get a player that's very good in division with the Colts. All right, so I guess if you were going to power rank them, how would you go? But then also at the same time, like, do any of these take any of these teams to a place where they are more scary to you in a larger space? Because, well, I think that there's a weird dichotomy for me in the talent that they have there, but the fear factor, if I had to put a phrase on it, that they now pose to the Texans.
No, that's fair, because I've been saying, hey, don't worry about the Jaguars. But they just got a really good player, the best, I think, football player in the draft. And I'll put it this way in terms of how it affects the Texans. Because there was a time not so long ago, and longtime Texans fans will remember this, when everything the Texans did was because they wanted to counter what Peyton Manning was doing. Like they were drafting rush ends, they were drafting secondary, they were making trades and free agent acquisitions, kind of like, how do we beat Peyton Manning? Well, the rest of the division is now doing that to you because you have C.J. Stroud. And you've got, you know.
Was it C.J. Stroud or is it the defense? Because
and you've got a defense.
A wide receiver and a tight end as well.
No, I'm saying you've got C.J. Stroud. You've got an incredible defense. So what are we going to do? Hey, let's draft a quarterback that might be, you know, a really good quarterback, if not even better than that. Let's draft Travis Hunter, who can affect the Texans on both sides of the ball. And then the Colts, let's draft a tight end that is one really bad dude. So the shoe is on the other foot now. They're coming at you. So I really feel like that got the Texans' attention, and the Travis Hunter thing in particular, Figgy, because John Harris, salute to John Harris. He didn't try to like couch it as like, oh well, they paid too much and all this. Although Mark Vandermeer
they
might
did pay
have,
a lot.
Although Mark Vandermeer might have
they did pay.
I don't often say this for that much draft capital, but I think he's worth it because he is an elite player. Look, ooh. Mark
Vandermeer.
He gives a shot in the arm on both.
Hold on.
Ladies and Jacksonville disagreement.
You're letting your bias show because what did we do in 23? We're sitting there. We traded a one next year, our second rounder, and a fourth rounder, and we went and got an elite player in that draft by the name of Will Anderson Jr. So if we liked it then, we can like it now. We just don't like it because it's the Jaguars.
I feel like that cat meme with the lady screaming and the cat's in the chair, and I'm in the chair right now as the cat saying, yeah, but we got a quarterback. So there.
Where is that? But it's a very similar deal to moving up from whatever we move. What do we move up from 12 to 3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very similar deal.
I think he'll sell tickets. I think he'll be good. I'm not saying he'll be bad. And maybe it all works out.
Vandermeer was so reluctant. So reluctant.
But I do think that those things are not mutually exclusive. I do. I'm very intrigued. And I don't think 713 said, am I crazy because I'm excited the Jags took Travis Hunter? No, I don't think that's crazy at all. He is an incredibly talented player, and I think that one of the things that's interesting is that he is very raw still, mm-hmm. too. Like, mm-hmm. he is still relatively raw athletically. As a wide receiver, there's still polish to be added on top of his talent, and he is still, I think, cornerback, he's probably a little bit further along when mm-hmm. it comes to finding that polish, but just the high end of his ability, and yes, I would love to see Hunter versus Stingley or Hunter versus Nico Collins or what have you. I just also look around and I go, do they have a quarterback to make this worthwhile?
Sure.
With Jacksonville, do they have a quarterback to make the Tyler Warren worthwhile? Although someone did on the text line mention from the 832, Dallas Clark nightmares for weeks. I get that. But is Daniel Jones going to get him the football?
Yeah.
Is Anthony Richardson going to miss him half of the times? Like, I do think that I'm not afraid, but I do find – so I don't think that you gave ground, but I do think that there are some really interesting players where if some of these teams start putting – more things together, because I think that they're still so far away.
That's the point right
if
there.
If they start putting more things together, yeah. These are interesting foundations that they have started with on day one.
I'm not afraid either, but these are the types of players that, you know, 6, 8, 10 years, you know, maybe when they do get a quarterback, maybe when they do find a solution, are going to be a big problem for you. Like they potentially are going to be if Cam Ward is really good, that's a big problem. If Travis Hunter is playing at a Pro Bowl, All-Pro level for 8 or 10 years, that's a big problem.
How good does Cam Ward have to be for it to be a big problem? Because in player comps, I've always talked about how bad they are, and here I am being a jerk because I've mentioned them many, many more times mm-hmm. in this process than I probably should have. But CBS Sports put together like player comps for mm-hmm. all of the top 100 players, and I found it to be useful at least to get some level of gauge of what the general rough altitude a certain player might be able to get to. And the one for Cam Ward was Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And if he ends up being in the range of caliber of player of Jordan Love, is that where you go, oh, man, I'm scared? Or is this just like, all right, that's fine?
I mean, Jordan Love isn't bad.
He's not.
Jordan Love isn't bad. And I'm not saying – I'm with the texter. Like, next year, I'm not worried. Spoiler alert, the Texans are going to win the division next year. You know, that I'm not worried about. All I'm saying is they're loading up with players to beat the Texans potentially. And these are three really good ones.
Yeah. I do want to stop down on Travis Hunter real quick because there's been this constant question of how is he utilized once he finds a home. And it felt like as the Browns seemed like the presumptive favorite to land his services before they ended up trading yesterday, that they were probably going to go with a split that saw him more heavily utilized as a wide receiver and then a little moonlighting as a cornerback. This is Dominique Foxworth, who is a former cornerback in the NFL and now applies his trade, analyzing the NFL for ESPN. This was his assessment of that with Travis Hunter.
Realization and looking at the Jags roster, like, I think he's definitely a corner. He's definitely a corner. I know that Gabe Davis isn't great and De'Ami Brown isn't great, but, like, I feel more comfortable with that, putting that out there with Trevor Lawrence than I do with their cornerbacks, especially since, like, they have ends. They have good pass rushing ends, but they don't get a lot of pressure, and they're a heavy man coverage team. Like, I feel like Travis Hunter's impact is much more needed with that team on the defensive side of the ball. And I think you and I came to the conclusion that it probably would be easier to be a full-time corner and a part-time receiver than the other way around. So, like, I think as we were entering this draft, we thought the Browns were going to draft him and he was most certainly going to be a receiver there. And now I think it's certainly flipped.
I couldn't agree more. This is one of the things that I feel very strongly about. They wouldn't have given up all that, and they wouldn't have gone up to number two if he wasn't going to play on both sides of the ball.
Well, he was going to play on both sides of the ball. I find it interesting the idea of him playing more on defense, because I think that I'd be more interested in what he might be able to do if he was playing more on offense comparatively.
I don't know.
He's 6'1", 188, and not to say that he is tiny, but he's not giant. Who is he covering for the Tech? Like, is he covering? I don't think he's covering in the slot, or whoever you end up selecting, or whoever you end up playing at the Z, is that worth what, I guess, in theory, what you'd be having with Travis Hunter? Or is he having to try and guard Nico Collins, which, best of luck, dude?
No, absolutely best of luck, and I think Nico Collins is going to win more than his share of battles if it comes to that. But he's the best cornerback, you know, in the draft, obviously, and he's faced big receivers before. You know, I think they're going to put him on the opposing team's best player. I could see where he's a full-time cornerback, 15 to 20 plays on offense, you pick your spots kind of thing. And then I think they even maybe pick their spots occasionally in a big moment, returning kicks. I
don't know that you can have him return kicks.
I think you could.
If he's already playing both ways,
Your spots. Like in a big moment, like, we need to do this.
What about being
Going to need all the breathers he can get if he's going. So special teams has to be an opportunity for him to stand for
his
moment.
Yes.
I don't think that you can have him return.
But you know how high I am on this guy.
No, I understand. Yeah. And rightfully so. Yeah. He's an incredible athlete. Yeah. And even the idea that we have gotten very comfortable talking about the fact that this is absolutely going to happen both ways is a miracle. Literally a handful of people have done this at this level. It is an incredible feat. And that's why I'm like, you can't push that to the craziest level. We're playing 17 car crash sport games.
Yeah.
Like, you can't also be like, you know what? Get it back there and return a punt, dog. Like, that's I feel like that's too much.
I think eventually he will. Occasionally. You know, sort of like Deion. I mean, to be honest, you know, Deion wasn't an exclusive kick returner, but they put him back there sometimes.
From the 832, Hunter's going to get locked down by Stingley or Lassiter and get cooked by Nico. Yeah,
I would love to see that.
All of it. And you will. No, you are going to see it.
Twice a year.
You're going to see it.
Twice a year. Yeah. So, yeah, man. I thought that the AFC South did good. I don't think it's going to be good enough for these Texans. And I think that's an encouraging thing as well. Headed into day two before the Texans even make any selections in the NFL draft. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the Astros getting started on a 3-game set. What did their opponents do yesterday in a doubleheader? Plus, remember, Rockets got basketball coming up this weekend. We'll talk about that and more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. That is a 4-for-5 week, ladies and gentlemen, on staying on side. That's a very low bar, I understand. I will work
all right,
to continue
Reggie
to be
Tussle.
Better. We're getting a little
getting
bit better
as the season goes.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, just target on his back.
Don't trade me in the offseason. All right. Somebody. It was fun getting to see Andre out there at the draft party yesterday. Yeah. All the fellas, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris.
I saw him last night. I started to say that. Drop to him.
He probably would enjoy it.
It's every week
though. Somebody on the text line, we were talking about the rest of the AFC South and what they did in the first round of the NFL draft. If for some reason you didn't know, Cam Ward goes number one to the Tennessee Titans. Travis Hunter goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars at 2, who traded up from 5 to 2 to get him, gave up a first round pick next year. We were talking, and then also Tyler Warren fell to the Indianapolis Colts. We didn't talk a lot about them, but I also because probably their quarterback stinks. but one, apparently, Gladstone, the magnificent Gladstone, I didn't see this. He talked about this yesterday that, and I think he did it in a very cheeky manner of saying, guess what side of the ball our coaches, our head coach is from, which maybe seems to intimate that Travis Hunter more wide receiver than cornerback. But from the 713, playing both sides of the ball is cool. But, man, I truly think that Travis might be banged up by week 10. Yeah, man, I think he specializes by year three, though. I will say that. Like, just
maybe,
he's going to be a lot of hard hitting. And then somebody else said, Travis Hunter's a dog. However, with these defenses see him going over the middle, they gonna make him feel it. And I'm like, we don't do that anymore in the NFL.
No,
like that is just that They're is
taking
gone.
That out or try to. You get penalized, literally.
welcome to the league,
yeah,
rookie.
I don't know how
that's
much
over with.
Yeah.
I mean they tried to ring my man up, Aziz Al-Shaair, for what happened there. They not letting you Steve Atwater out here.
No,
we not doing that no more.
No,
but so yeah, I think he is safe in that way. All right. Let's talk about some other things that are popping. Did you see this from the Astros? So the Astros are unveiling, along with I think some other teams in the league are unveiling, just various more eats. The Astros have a new fried chicken waffle sandwich.
Oh, I saw it.
Pepper jack cheese, bacon onion jam, and honey chipotle aioli. So it's a sandwich where the bread is waffles. There's chicken in the middle. They got the sauce on it, pepper jack cheese. You in or not?
There isn't a bad word you just said. Those are all good words. Waffle, sandwich, pepper jack cheese, bacon onion jam, honey chipotle.
I don't know what a bacon onion jam
aioli.
Is. That has,
it has
me a
bacon
little,
in it.
Yeah, but it also got onion in it. An onion, you got to convince onion. Me how you use it.
Like that, every word you said is a good word. Fried. I mean, come on. A lot of these things are so out there that you go, no way. And we've talked about that. I'm in on that.
Somebody said it's probably $25.
It might be.
Figgy?
Might
be about, that might be low.
Yeah.
I'll
be down to try that. Yeah. It's a place I used to go to. I think it was called the Waffle Bus.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have stuff like that, like a waffle chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
It's stuff good once in a while.
The only thing that gets me about having the waffle as like the bun of sorts, and somebody said they had the OG from the Waffle Bus, as you said, is that you got to find a way to get like the moisture in. Right, because a waffle is inherently kind of needs like some butter,
but it's airy.
and some syrup. Mm-hmm. And I look at that and I go, is that gonna be kind of too dry when you bite into it? When you talk about the chicken,
that's where the jam comes in.
Is there enough of it though?
That's where the jam.
The bacon
comes
jam
in.
Looks like it's thick too, and all you got is that aioli. And I'm like, is that gonna be enough, or am I gonna be like having to take one bite and two swigs of whatever drink I have in my commemorative cup? You know what I mean? Like that's the one thing that I'm wondering. You know,
it's on the list. Give me the fried chicken waffle sandwich, extra onion jam and chipotle, please.
Oh, so that's what you're like, hey, give me extra. Can I get some extra?
So the next time you go to an Astros game,
it's on the list. I think I just might get it. I'm a traditionalist at usually at baseball games, hot dog, peanuts, you know.
You're peanuts at a baseball
game?
Oh,
hell yes.
God, you're so old.
Crack old? That's what everybody does. Everybody does that at baseball
games. Yeah, in 1934. When you're wearing your tweed.
No game. 7135.
Some peanuts.
I only want people under the age of 40 to text this. Do you crack peanuts and eat them at a baseball game?
I do see a lot of young people.
Yes. And I will say.
Stop bringing facts in this. I was trying to make it feel old.
And by the way, that's the only place I'll crack peanuts and eat them is at a baseball game.
Yeah.
And a hot dog. But I'll have this.
Yeah. It kind of sucked, though, because people just throw the shells
on
the
best part.
Yeah. But if you ain't eating none, you get stepping all over them.
Sure.
That part kind of sucked.
All right. So the next time I imagine you'll have an opportunity to get at this is actually come Monday when the Tigers and AJ Hinch come into town for that series. Because this weekend, the Astros are in Kansas City to face off against the Royals. Wesneski, Valdez, and Framber Valdez, and Hunter Brown will be going this weekend. They'll face off against Seth Lugo, Waka, and Bubich out there. And I am interested to see how this goes. I think that Wesneski might be set up for a good one tonight, 6:40 p.m. on Space City Home Network, because the Royals played a doubleheader yesterday.
Yeah.
They won both of them, although I don't really care all that much. Y'all in the Central, more power to you, versus the Rockies. However, in the first game against the Rockies, 7-4, They had to utilize 1, 2, 3, 4 relievers because Cole Reagans only went 3 innings with. I mean, he has a 4.4 ERA, which isn't terrible, but I mean, the way that Cole Reagans' season went last year, he looked kind of incredible. But yes, I mean, you'll miss Reagans, but they used a lot of relievers there. Not as many in the second game, so it's not like they're fully depleted, but the pen is not going to be very long. Get into the pen if you can get Lugo into the pen. I feel like you can get yourself a quick win and extend your winning streak as the Astros here.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing I noted yesterday because the Astros had the day off. They were in Kansas City, chilling, eating barbecue, I presume, and the Royals had to play a doubleheader. And when we were talking about it, I was like, how many relievers they use? Because that's key right there. So you get into their bullpen early against Seth Lugo, who's 1-3, decent. Yeah, as you mentioned, decent ERA, but.
Mention Lugo's ERA? I think the ERA I was talking about was Reagan's. I can check Seth Lugo's ERA if you want me to.
It's 3.9.
Oh, okay. Well, even better than Reagan's.
But he's 1-3, so you get into the bullpen today, and good things might happen with Wesneski on the mound. Michael Wacha, obviously, has been decent over the years. But Sunday afternoon, Sunday at 1:10 p.m., Hunter Brown versus Chris Bubik, who is 1.45 ERA and is 3-1. So that's going to be a great pitcher's duel on Sunday.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting series to keep track of this weekend. Also, still kind of tentative on that rehab start for
Lance McCullers Jr.
Lance McCullers. Goodness gracious.
Michael Stomach Wacha. Bug. Huh? Stomach bug.
All right.
Stomach bug?
Maybe if he was eating some of these other selections that the MLB teams put out there. Apparently, the Blue Jays have a cotton candy fries.
That's the one where you're thinking it too much. You're thinking too much.
All right. Would you do a Marlins hot dog tower?
What's in it?
It's a tower of hot dogs.
Well, I wouldn't do
4 hot dogs, 4 Polish sausages, 4 corn dogs.
Oh, my goodness. That's, I wouldn't do it by myself.
That's all for a caveman.
I'm a big corn dog fan, though. I might try at least a corn dog and a sausage.
All right, sorry, I'm too far in now. Yeah. We'll talk about the Rockets here in a second. They're going to get going on game 3 on the road. Padres have banana pudding helmets.
Yes, please.
They got some cookies stuck in there too. Okay, that's interesting. And then we mentioned the boomstick burrito, and then the Yankees have tiramisu.
I'm not a big tiramisu fan, just in general. It's kind of like. It's a poor man's tres leches cake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As soon as he brought out the Spanish, that tres leches, I see it. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Rockets. They have an opportunity to try and go up in the series as they hit the road for the first time in the playoffs to face off against the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco on Saturday. The big thing that we're all looking forward to is what, Lopez?
Jimmy Butler.
What is happening with Jimmy Butler? Shams Charania gave us a little bit of an update yesterday on what's happening with Sean or with Jimmy, where he said that, and I'll read it verbatim, Golden State's Jimmy Butler has been diagnosed with a deep glute muscle contusion, and his status for game 3 against the Rockets is in serious jeopardy.
That's the part.
He went further to say that this is the best case scenario, however, because the MRI showed that Butler avoided any fracture or structural damage. So if I'm going to make assumptions here, which you know what happens when you make assumptions, you know,
bad things.
Yeah. And then you can break down the word assumption. But it feels like he'll miss game 3. But it does feel like he might possibly make it for game 4, although that's a relatively short turnaround come Monday.
Mm-hmm. This is the chance to get it going again and get home court back, take control of the series. And I'm not 100% sure, you know, even game 4 is in play. If it's in serious jeopardy after this long wait, 3 days, but still, wait and rehab and you know he's getting treatment and all that, and it just looked worse than, ouch, I fell on my tailbone, you know? It looked like him. He was limping pretty badly, et cetera. This is the opportunity, and then you got to, you know, see what unless Jonathan Kuminga does something, which he hasn't really done.
No, but maybe they have spent the weekend trying to get him back in the good graces because they need him. But he's just had a weird relationship with Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr just having an unwillingness to play him.
Yeah.
And it feels like this offseason might be a potential time where they split organization and Kuminga. But if they ultimately want to get things that done in the right direction for both of them, it would behoove them as the Warriors to have Kuminga play and play well, and it would behoove him to play well to try and show his wares to any other teams that be interested. obviously it would behoove the Rockets, rather, for neither of those things to be the case and for Steph Curry to try and go it alone, because how optimistic are you if Jimmy Butler doesn't play? Because I feel like I'm in
the
60 to 70% win percentage range.
I'm with you.
If Steph Curry is having to try and carry the offensive load by his lonesome.
Because Steph Curry can beat you by himself. I don't know if he can beat this team by himself.
With the defense that they have.
The shots are so difficult to come by. The defense stretches them. You and I were talking about this yesterday. The way they stretch the floor on him just to even get into a place where he can get a shot off. And then you have the Kuminga factor. I mean, unless, post, channels Jack Sigma all of a sudden.
He won't.
or Klay Thompson.
I'm willing to. Look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And maybe I'll give you, 25 up downs or something, right? Mm-hmm. We can do that. But I feel fairly confident Quint Post is not going to come out here and be the guy that steals a game for the Warriors in this.
So that's my point.
They ain't got nobody else, man. And honestly, I ain't think I would say this, but I feel like they kind of miss Klay Thompson a little bit. Yeah. At least he was somewhat of a threat.
Sure. No, that's kind of my point. Unless those things happen, which are unlikely. Well, boy, I hope this doesn't come back to bite me.
It will.
Steph Curry isn't going to beat you by himself.
I hope so too, because that would be very disconcerting.
I mean, I don't think he can, but they can still also, the Rockets can kind of beat themselves too.
Well,
that is a great point. That is a great point.
That part kind of came to light even when Steve Kerr was just scrambling. He played 12. What did he play? 12 players in that game? Game two?
He played scrambling. Number 61. I'm like, all right, what's going on here?
He played number 61.
That's a Park Ranger Pat.
Pat McAfee. no, but he was in total scramble mode, to your point, Figgy, and they still kind of were hanging around a little bit here and there. So that would be killer instinct, Rockets, killer instinct.
And we had to get a 38-pointer from Jalen Green.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I hope Jalen Green gives another 38.
Yeah,
we'll see how that ultimately goes. Rockets will play on Saturday, tomorrow, 7:30 p.m., on ABC. That's the only place that we got it. Interestingly enough, the line is Golden State -2.5.
Really?
Interesting.
I hadn't looked at it.
And so we'll see what ultimately plays out there. I turn you to the Jim Mallory of the Texas Hammer text line, 346-25, and yes, Crack Peanuts, 620-35, and no, last time I was at the ballpark, I had no desire to get a bag of peanuts. And then I also bring you, and of course I lost it as soon as I wanted to get to it, but someone dunked on you. Oh, yes, from the 281. Turn 40 in July. No, I don't crack peanuts at the Astros games, but I know who does. My dad, who is 66. I rest my case. All right,
liars.
You're in the loop
liars.
Right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. All right, now for real this time. No pump fakes. Who do you want? What now? What's next? We're headed into round two of the draft. The Texans have to take picks today, or else I might lose my mind.
They might trade out. I don't know.
All so five? All five
they
picks?
Have 9 fifth-round picks.
All right, yeah, so who are we looking at? Who do you want to see? What more do you think could happen in the NFL draft? Let's go through all of that next.